Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Nerd Dump, the weekly podcast where we all talk about the things that we like in hopes of making friends and influencing people. So far, we are 0 for 2 on that, but you know what? We're going to keep doing this anyway because it's fun, and we've already paid for the site. So, hi, everybody. I'm Cameron.
I'm Cody.
I'm Honey. They keep feeding me, so I keep coming back. I'm like a wild animal.
Yeah, like a raccoon.
Yeah, we really need to stop feeding you from the table because you quit eating your own food like months ago.
Yeah, now you just sit under the table begging for scraps.
It's more fun this way.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you look pathetic at all.
You're like 9 feet tall. It's real weird.
I'm only 6'3".
Podcast.
Yep. This week, we're going to be talking about, we're actually doing our second annual book club episode. I say second annual because it's the second one this year that we've done. also the second one ever that we've done.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll do it more than annual.
We still need to come up with a good name for this segment.
We do. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
If you guys have ideas for what we could call our book club subset episodes, definitely hit us up.
I held it.
Nice. You can let us know on Facebook. You can also let us know on Twitter at Nerd Dump Podcast. Let us know, and maybe we will choose what you decide, and we'll definitely give you a mention on a later episode.
The winner gets a free drawing.
Of nothing.
No, we'll draw. I can draw something. I'll draw something. If someone actually does it, and we pick it as our name, I will send them a piece of art.
Hooray!
Okay.
Of their choosing.
And I will make sure that you do that.
Yeah.
And if you don't have time, then I'll draw it.
Yeah, one of us will draw something. We're all fairly good at drawing.
You should let me draw it. I'm like the worst one here.
You're still good at it, though. I've seen you drew a picture of a werebear once, and I really liked that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I forgot about that. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time
ago. That was like 10 years ago.
Yep. The walls are bleeding.
It happens.
Where I store all the blood. Yep. The llama blood for the blood fountain?
Yes.
Man, we should clean that at some point, because that blood's starting to get a little...
chunky?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's best when it congeals.
It tried to grab me the other day.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Like Ghostbusters 2 from the bathtub? Like pink stuff trying to grab me?
That's why you don't let Dr. Roberto touch the blood.
Right. It was actually more like the Mario Brothers movie with the fungus snot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was gross.
Yeah. That's what it was like.
Again, don't let Dr. Roberto near the blood.
Yeah. He also tried to hand me a bomb. I thought that was strange.
They got you and me confused.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
If you don't know what we're talking about with the Super Mario Brothers references, don't worry, because we will
Don't worry, it doesn't matter.
it doesn't matter, but as a segue, we will be discussing that among other video game movies in an upcoming episode.
Right.
So
we will.
It's called... where is it? Video Games to Movies Tokyo Drift is the name of the episode.
Yep.
I do remember this vaguely now.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I was there. It is a thing. We discussed this.
Yep.
I just don't always pay attention.
We actually plan some of our episodes in advance. Yep. So
I plan nothing.
And you're very good at it.
Yeah.
So
that's how I roll
in my wand.
So that way you guys know what we're going to be discussing eventually and can join in on this discussion. So before we get to the main topic, which
the meat of the episode,
which
I like meat. It's
is
tasty.
The graphic novel Raven. I guess we haven't really been, all three of us haven't really actually been in the same room for a while.
Yeah.
Obviously you were subbed last week.
Right.
By the lovely Brenda, and I did not see Ready Player One. So this is the first time we've been together for a while. So it feels good.
Yeah.
Guys, it really does.
Hooray! For feelings and things.
Anybody die while we were gone?
I did not.
Tony says he did. He raised his hand.
Okay. How did that work?
I'm a time traveler, remember? Mm-hmm. I had Dr. Roberto pull me from another time stream. Back into this one.
Right. And then...
it was science gone wrong.
Matrix.
Yeah, it happened.
Speaking of Dr. Roberto, since we haven't really brought him up in a while, should we consult the toilet paper of knowledge for anybody who doesn't know... who Dr. Roberto is.
Probably don't want to go too far into that since we're going to be talking about something else because he's got a long history.
Oh, I know. I know. But sure. Just for anybody who hasn't.
Dr. Roberto, now doctor. I think at the current time he's
he was captain.
Yes, at one point he was a captain.
I'll explain. Right. When I first found him time traveling through the multiverse, he was only a captain. I pulled him with me. Wait, is he paying attention? I don't want him to hear this part.
No, he's looking.
Okay. When I first pulled him out of the time stream, I kept him close to me because I know what happens to him in the future, and he ends up killing me, and I don't want him to get that far along. So if I keep him with me and keep him tracking right. The wrong things.
For some reason, you put him back in the school so he could get his doctorate.
Well, yeah. Well, I can't mess up too much of the time stream. I got to keep some things concurrent because he does become a doctor eventually. Yeah,
he has a doctorate in nursing, which is strange. So he's a doctor nurse.
Yeah, it's a weird stream of things. But anywho, I keep my enemy close to me so he can't quite kill me because he doesn't know what he's looking for. I send him on the wrong trails all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's still not paying
attention. He's a pinata. So, Raven, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
What?
If you died recently, why does it matter if he kills you? Or did he kill you? And
it's a later me in a different multiverse.
Okay.
But I don't want him to get to me there. And he thinks I'm essential, so he had to pull me from another timeline back into this one, so I can keep helping him.
Your timeline makes as much sense as Kang the Conqueror's.
Yeah, and if you check out his wiki page, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts to read because
they keep adding to it too.
Yeah, it makes so very little sense. But anyway, God, our show has plot holes. Do you think you realize that?
We don't have any plot holes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Fair enough. We'll just go back in time and fix it. So, but yeah. Back to the meat of the episode, starting with
dibs on the bacon.
Okay.
Oh.
I want the chicken.
Okay,
I'll take the veal because that's literally all that's left.
Yep. What weird animal did we slaughter? Anyway, go on.
Yep. So we're going to be talking about Raven, Pirate Princess, which is written by Jeremy Whitley with art by Rosie Higgins and Ted Brandt. It is published by Action Lab, which is a kind of an indie label. They actually have a very wide range of books from kind of the more mature titles to all ages,
mm-hmm.
Which is very much what Raven is.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't always seem like it because of how, in my opinion, how well it's written, but it is actually. There's not a whole lot that is inappropriate for kids or anyone.
Nothing really I can think of.
No.
Other than like all the pig blood.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
There's some pig blood. But anyway. So a little backstory. Raven is a spinoff series of the book Princeless, which was.
I didn't know that.
It was published about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been around for a little while. But it was. The original series was started off. It was about. Princess Adrienne, and the idea was it was taking tropes of fairy tales and different things and subverting it. So it was almost like Shrek in a way, but done in my opinion a little bit better and a little more modern. Shrek has not aged quite as well in my opinion, but
I haven't watched Shrek in a long time.
The first one's still solid. Second one, a lot of it's okay.
I don't know if I've ever even seen the second one.
It's worth it for Puss in Boots alone.
I like all of the Shreks. And the Puss in Boots. And the Puss in Boots shit.
Wow, there was a whole Shrek franchise at one point, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Huh. So and
the show's still going on, but...
Shrek babies. It's like...
Those are the things I like at least.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. They sound awful. So... But Raven is...
Back to our episode about yep. Shrek.
actually, not Raven. Princeless is... The whole idea of it is that there's a princess, Adrienne, who's locked in the tower, and she's basically stuck there, has to be rescued by a prince. Mm-hmm. She was actually stuck there by her father, the king.
Right.
But she doesn't want any of that, so she actually escapes with the dragon who was guarding her.
Oh.
And she essentially becomes a warrior taking on the visage of a knight to rescue other princesses.
Okay.
Cameron did research.
Mm-hmm.
That's the princeless one?
Yeah.
So knowing this Raven that, one is just a straight ripoff of it? I know you said it's a spinoff, but she did the same exact thing to get out. She rode a dragon out.
Yeah. Getting to that.
Okay. So I think princess probably saves Raven.
Yeah. Yeah, when Princess...
Knowing this information probably would have been real helpful for the comic that we...
I didn't know there was precursor stuff for it.
Yeah. Sorry. I should have...
You're just like, here's these like, readers.
None of this makes sense. I don't know what this is. But now there was more. Okay.
Yeah. So the first couple volumes of Princess established that Adrian wants to... she doesn't want to just be damsel in distress.
Right.
That's actually how a lot of the princesses and just girls in general are treated in this universe, basically.
See, that also would have been helpful information.
Yeah, sorry.
I just kind of figured that out, though, in general. But
well, I never saw it in what we did read.
Yeah, but so, they were seeming like, they're anyway, like I don't need
we'll
to
keep
be
controlled
by a man kind of thing.
So the story is basically that Adrian wants to rescue other princesses. She actually wants to rescue her sisters because they're all in the same bind that she was in. And at some point she rescues Raven, who is she's the latest in a long line of
pirate queens.
Exactly.
Pirate princess.
Pirate princesses. Yeah,
she's trying to be the queen, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the what's funny is the pirates aren't actual royalty.
Right.
That's just the pirates, just kind of made that up.
Right.
So her father is the pirate king. Because there was no woman to take over at that time.
It said something about like his sister. Something happened to his sister.
She was no longer around, I think is the word to get used.
Yeah. So that's why he's in charge. And he is actually, he's grooming Raven to be the pirate queen.
Right.
To take over. But then she has brothers who kind of put their influence over him.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up exactly where all of these other princesses are, exactly where she didn't want to be, which is stuck in a tower guarded by a dragon. So then Raven ends up, after having their own little adventure with Adrian and her dwarf friend, Linda, she kind of goes off on her own.
Explains a lot, honestly, because... anyway, go on.
I'll send you a link to
the other
books. They're actually really good. They're really fun. Raven's a little more serious take on it.
Right.
But the Princess books are hilarious, honestly. They're
like
really fun.
Knowing that and like reading the Princess book might be important to reading Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it, when I was reading, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know anything about this world, and you're not explaining it to me. But it's because there was a book before it that did explain all that stuff. And I didn't know that. But that's awesome. Okay, go on.
that's the first thing to take away. If you want to read any of these books, definitely start with... I mean, Raven's pretty self-contained, but the backstory does help. And you can actually check out... the first issues for free on Hoopla. If you have a library card, we have talked about that service.
I think, you brought it up
two.
Before.
Yeah.
You can read the first issues for free on there. But then definitely, if you like what you've read, definitely go to Comixology and you can buy the rest of the issues. You can actually buy the trades super cheap on there. And that does actually help out the creators. Because it is a creator-owned book.
It's important to support small creators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or else we're just going to have the same 9 crossovers from Marvel and DC over and over again until we
all die. Because then you can have, reboot number 57 of DC and reboot 48 of Marvel.
Yeah.
Because they can't create anything new. They have to just keep redoing their own crap. And it's like, oh, it wasn't good? Let's reboot it again. Oh, it's still not good? Let's reboot it again.
I hear the last reboot of DC has been good. I haven't read much on it yet, though.
A lot of the Rebirth stuff has been pretty good. But that was a few years ago. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Marvel's already on their, fourth in just a couple years.
Yeah.
So, and that's...
That's why they suck. I'm joking. They don't suck. DC kind of sucks, but Marvel's okay.
I will say that is actually one reason why...
DC has the Wildcats, though.
True. Yeah. Okay, I might read that.
Grifter's been a big part of it recently.
Yeah. I like Grifter.
Grifter's pretty great.
I don't like Spartan. I don't generally like the lead people. Like,
well, they're...
I don't like Cyclops. I don't like the leaders.
Yeah, it's, I don't like it's a certain Spartan. Archetype. I don't yeah. think you enjoy...
I don't like them.
The Boy Scout, I know better than everyone else type douches.
I was a Boy Scout, and like, I'm like the kind of Boy Scout mentality kind of thing on a lot of stuff. Although I'm also the very much, I'm a survive. If you want to live, come with me.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. So I've kind of lost my voice a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've been weirder voice-wise. But when I was reading the comic last night, I was reading it out loud for reasons. And, I did a weird voice for one of the characters and hurt myself.
Awesome.
So.
Oh, that's yeah. that's something new.
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
No, it was a very, very weird voice for the map-making character.
Were you doing a death metal kind of thing?
See, I can't do it now.
Wait, for the map-making chick?
Yeah. All my voice. Well, I have a man's voice, so all my voices were different forms of man voices.
For all the women.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yes. I believe I made Katie have a German accent.
Fair enough.
I see that. I see that.
So it was fun. But
what kind of accent did you go with for the map maker?
It wasn't an accent. It was like just a weird, like crackly, monotoned. It was just like she was the newest character at the point when I was making voices.
So you were running out of
options? I was running out of voices, yeah.
Nice.
It's been a while since I wrote a book out loud in voices.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a while. I think the last one I did was Akira, the graphic novel.
I do it a lot for reasons.
Yeah. But, yeah. I was reading to a buddy of mine and his girlfriend. I don't know why. I was
weird.
Yeah. Huh. It was a children's book, too. I don't remember why. Oh, we were snowed in. That's why.
Okay. That's still...
When was the last time it snowed?
No, this was years ago. Okay. It was Red Josh.
Oh, Red Josh. Good old
and
Red
a completely
Josh.
Different girl that he's not been with for a long time.
Was it the one where we...
It was a crazy one. Oh, there's a few crazy ones.
There was one time where we came in and we blocked...
No, not that one. No, it was a completely different person.
All
right. Anyway, yeah.
Non sequitur.
Yes.
Back to the story at hand.
So I was going to say, actually, a big part of why books like this are important are because of all the reboots and different things that are happening with bigger companies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the fact that Marvel actually did a really cool thing where they were having more, they were putting a lot of emphasis on diversity.
Right.
Like, a lot of their books were being led by female characters who hadn't had their own book.
Right.
You know, characters, people of color, you know, people in the LGBT community, you know, like Iceman, who is, of course, now gay.
Young
he had his
Iceman.
Own title. Yeah, well, no,
old
it was
Iceman.
Old Iceman.
Oh,
old Iceman.
He finally came out?
Young Iceman.
Last
is
I read,
who,
he was refusing to admit that he was gay, and Young Iceman was out and happy.
No, that was a while ago. It was actually Young Iceman's coming out.
I found that
finally.
Hilarious.
It was him coming out that got old Iceman to finally, you know, admit that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess this has been me. So, but yeah, no, Marvel had a lot of diversity and a lot of
time travel.
I know how time travel works.
It was awesome. Because, like, Young Iceman was, like, out and happy, and then Old Iceman's like, yeah, I guess I'm gay.
Very, very weirdly written, but it has led to some very
cool
stories.
It was hilarious.
It was very, very
I loved that storyline.
Yeah. But the fact
that...
Right. Yeah. A little out there.
Yeah.
But the fact that those books have all pretty much been canceled, and a lot of that is honestly because of the fact that, you know, they've spent so much time rebooting and relaunching and
right.
I don't want to diss Marvel necessarily, but they did kind of throw out there that they blamed that approach on a lot of sales and a lot of books getting canceled. But the truth is, it was because of a lot of their bigger titles and a lot of their marketing choices that led to, you know, disinterest in a lot of their books. But it's just, it sucks that they were blaming, you know, the diversity on, or they were blaming lack of sales on right. these titles when that wasn't the case at all.
I've often heard it said that Marvel does well when the Fantastic Four is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I all know, the last several years, the Fantastic Four hasn't had a comic.
Nope.
And in that time frame is when they've done real bad. Because the Fantastic Four is like the core for the Marvel Universe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are like, when they focus on what it is, not necessarily the Fantastic Four, but when they focus on what the Fantastic Four stands for in a company, more so, they do a little bit better. And they haven't been doing that recently.
I see. I can see that. Because yeah. the last I think, run they had was the very first reboot that they've done, which was yeah. Marvel Now.
Yeah.
And that was several years ago.
Yep.
And the book was, it was solid.
Yep.
It wasn't, I mean, they had a spinoff called FF that I thought was hilarious and really good.
Yeah.
But it was a solid book. And then, of course, ever since it ended.
We're doing real bad at reviewing The Raven.
Well, we've got time. We've got time. But no, it hasn't had their own book in a long time.
Yep.
Obviously, they're going to now. But,
yes. So we're hoping Marvel will get good again.
Right. But, I mean, the fact that they've had so many missteps with what they're doing is why books like Raven are really important.
Yes.
And why it is equally important to support the creators who are making these kinds of books. Because indie books like Raven, like Princess,
right.
Princeless. They
also I read is indie because I don't like the big mainstream companies because they've all gone down the crapper.
Right. So like all of the books that you read,
yeah.
they're independents and they're yeah. Those books live or die based on their numbers.
Yeah. And that's why if there's different ones that I like, I mean, I usually support them on either their Patreon or if they're doing a Kickstarter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's I mean, I do a lot of that stuff because I want these stories that are really good to make it and other people can get them.
Right.
Because one of my favorites is actually a webcomic, but I mean, they compile and make trade paperbacks for mm-hmm. all of them. It's Girl Genius.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of stuff with backing them on Kickstarter because
mm-hmm.
they've gone pretty much to that for making their stuff.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, they have a Patreon account too. So, I mean, people do a lot of that stuff as well, but it's phenomenal. I've always liked females in the leads of stuff. So that's usually what I lean to
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the comics that I read anyway.
Yeah.
Outside of Space Captain.
Right.
Space Captain's amazing.
And Raven has no shortage of female characters. Actually, it's pretty much
yeah.
the whole princeless, God, I cannot say that right,
right.
for the life of me. The whole saga is very much strong female women. It's strong female
in comparison
characters.
To strong male women.
yeah.
There's a character similar to that. But, so yeah, strong female characters, people of color. Again, the LGBTQ community
right.
Is very very much a focus of these books, and I think they're handled very well. And the fact that it again is all ages,
yeah.
and your characters are primarily
See, and that was the all ages thing really appealed to me. I love the fact that it wasn't all female cast. They're not overly sexualized. It's just. Hey, we're out here just being people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Because a lot of times when you get strong female leads in different things, especially like if you read any mangas and stuff like that, they're
mm-hmm.
overly sexualized.
Overly.
Every time. Even if it is technically a kid-friendly one, most of the time, it's still overly sexualized. And I'm like, that doesn't need to be there. I
mm-hmm.
mean...
No, and that's a joke in the first volume of Princeless, which again you guys need to read.
Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently.
there's one of the earlier issues. Adrienne is trying to find something to wear as a soldier, and she goes to this shop, and there's a chainmail bikini like Red Sonja. There's an outfit like Xena's. There's a Wonder Woman-esque outfit that she ends up wearing for a little while. Until she realized how non-functional it actually is.
Yeah, right.
And then she adopts the armor that we see in the book, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I was going to say, in the character, Katie, the tall, blonde, muscular lady,
yeah.
she, I know when she was trying to get her other female compatriots from her club, to join her. She was like, yeah, I want to do something and, you know, not run around in a chainmail bikini. So like, she mentioned it for like her D&D character or whatever their game is called.
Yeah.
D&D-esque game that they're playing. And I was just like, that's awesome. Because, I mean, that's, it doesn't need to be there. So.
No. And I mean, you know, those books are fine. You know, Red Sonja has pretty much worn what she's worn forever.
Yeah. And they're still making Red Sonja, so.
I've never read a Red Sonja.
I haven't either.
It's never been appealing to me.
I mean, I remember the movie when I was little.
I didn't see that even.
But I love the Conan the Barbarian and all that stuff. I like that movie. It's horrible, but it's awesome.
It has that appeal to it, definitely. But that's something we should kind of talk about. So we know the background of Prince Liss and where Raven is going.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, sorry. let's kind of talk about the characters a little bit. Obviously, the main character is Raven. She is a descendant of this long line of strong Asian, you know, leaders.
Pirate queens,
exactly. And she, again, gets thrown into having to be a damsel and doesn't want that. So we're kind of following her on her journey of vengeance against her brothers who, you know, coerced their father into throwing her in the tower.
Which I still think she should also want vengeance on her father. I haven't read very far into Raven.
See, the way, whenever she starts talking about her father, because the one other lady, the mapmaker chick, was like, I want, you know, justice brought against my father. And, like, she looks downtrodden and just kind of like, yeah, you'll bring him to justice. Like, almost like he's dead. Like, she almost made it seem like
I don't think he is, though.
Okay.
Or at least they haven't said it yet.
I only read the first five issues.
I think for some reason she only blames her brothers for what happens, even though her father's the one who made the choice to do what happened.
Yeah.
Which could be an interesting
I'm just wondering if like they overthrew him. Like, I'm wondering if they killed him, because a lot of times I don't know about in this story, but most
be a weird
evil
way
empires in anything to overthrow the head person. A lot of times you killed your father or whoever the person was, the king, the whatever. And so I'm almost wondering if something like that had happened.
Right. It'd be a weird secret to hide. Like, why she wouldn't say that it happened.
Or maybe they told her he's dead and she doesn't know for sure, or she suspects.
But I think it'd be really interesting. Again, Cameron, you've read further than we have. But I think it'd be interesting if she does get revenge on her brothers, but then finds out it was always her father's idea. And he's really just being a dick. So then there's that dynamic could be really interesting.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I should backtrack a little bit. For the focuses of our episode, we're really just focusing on the first story arc, which is Raven. I guess the full title is Raven Year One, Volume One, which is issues 1 through 4. Just because we didn't want to get too much into spoiler territory because the book is still going on. So we're kind of mostly talk about the first story arc because we do talk a lot. You didn't want to.
I haven't. Yeah. Obviously, like I said, I only read the first five, but because I noticed the first four issues were one art style, and then it switches at five.
Yeah.
Is that from five on? Is it all the same, or does it switch?
I don't believe it's consistent all the way through.
I was wondering if it was like, you know, hey, these people are just starting out, like they're, because I didn't know there was a precursor one for it. I didn't realize this was a spinoff, so I was just like, well, maybe they're just you know, trying out their stuff and they switch up the art style, because I actually kind of like the first four issue art style a little bit more than the second, than when they went to the art style on issue 5.
Yeah,
I mean, they looked a little more realistic, I guess, in 5, but I enjoyed the art style more in 1 through 4.
Yeah, it's a very good style, very, very clean lines. And what I really like about it is you can actually see the development of the art throughout. Just because, you know, as an artist, I always as I go, I feel like I get better. So that's one thing I appreciate, is when you can see that.
You don't want to get worse.
No, exactly. I love being able to see, you know, art starting out at good and then getting better as you go on. So not necessarily the fact that the art starts out not so good.
Well, yeah, like I said, I enjoy, I didn't hate the art when it shifted. I kind of like the first set of art better than the second set. The
second set has a little more shading to it. The first set is a little cleaner, though, looking.
Yeah, and it almost looks a little more cartoony, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a development in the style. As the book goes on, the different artists come on, but it's actually the same art team for the first two volumes.
Yeah.
So.
Now, is it the same writer the whole way through?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy.
Because I know you said art team, so.
Yeah. No, Jeremy Whitley, he's crafted pretty much the entire Princeless universe. And he's a great writer. He also tackled, he did work for, or write for Marvel. He did Unstoppable Wasp, which was a fantastic book, which was very, very short-lived, unfortunately.
Right.
He recently did a run on Vampirella, which was fun.
It's another one I don't ever read.
No.
It's hard to, she's a hard character to get into, in my opinion, but I liked his run on it. He's also done a lot of My Little Pony comics. He just capped a full run on Legends of Magic. So he's written some very fun My Little Pony books.
Fun.
Yeah. not your cup of tea, I know.
I don't even like tea.
Yeah, I don't either. Chai tea. I can do a chai tea.
I can do green teas, but yeah.
Earl Grey is great.
So okay.
Yeah.
So this guy that's doing all the writing, I know very little about him.
He's a human male.
Yep.
I'm not really okay, that's not what I'm trying to get at. But until recently, it was like, did you know much about this comic series? Like, why did we pick this as our book club? I mean, I don't think anybody in the audience knows why, and I'm actually not 100% sure. You just told me what to read, and I read. So,
basically, to kind of follow the whole thing of creator books, Raven is an ongoing series.
Yeah.
It's in year two right now, and it's got a very good size following. But it's one of those books that is kind of, it's not necessarily struggling in the numbers, but it could definitely be doing better.
Oh, yeah.
And we, as a fan of the creator, as a fan of these books, cause I had been reading Princeless from before.
Oh, okay.
So I knew about it.
So you knew about it and you just didn't tell us.
I don't tell you everything, Eric.
No. I'm not even worried about that.
You text me every time you go to the bathroom.
No, but I'm saying
you wanted us
to read this section, but you didn't. And you knew about the precursor stuff, and you didn't tell us about the precursor stuff needed to be read for this stuff.
Well, not. It doesn't need to be read for this.
But it would have been beneficial.
We've already established that it would have been beneficial.
I just assumed you didn't know ahead of time.
No.
But you did know.
I did know.
Either.
You just left out vital information.
Well, I'm trying to spur interest in the earlier books.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but no, we wanted to give this book a boost because it's really good. I definitely want to see it continue. Mm. And just in general, I'd like to kind of spotlight more creator-owned books when we do our book club episodes.
Right.
Which again, if you think of a better title than book club, let us know. I wanted to talk about this book because I think it's really good. I wouldn't say it has a lot of potential. It's just really a quality story with really good characters.
Right.
And I want to see Raven continue, or at the very least, I want to see the Princeless universe
continuing
on. Yeah. So that's why we want encouraging.
Even before reading. Or before knowing that there was a precursor Princeless series, I just enjoyed what I've read so far, the first five issues.
That's good.
I definitely want to read more. I haven't had the time to sit down and read any more of it.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's definitely one of those things that I want to know a lot more about it. I want to read the precursor stuff, and I'm probably actually going to read that and then reread the first five that I read again and then continue on through the rest of it.
Right.
But, it's just, I really enjoy the storyline, and it's one of those things, it's, especially being all ages, it's great that you can have something for little girls that's not just your stereotypical, I'm a princess, yay, do happy, fun things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, even though they're pirates,
Yeah.
They're not really doing anything, like, horribly messed up to where it's like, oh, you know, like, this is going to make my daughter...
blood all over themselves.
That was to save the lives of the people that were inside the building so it didn't get burned down.
Right.
There was reason for that. But still, it's one of those things, it's not just saying, oh, yeah, we're just going to, you know, still kill and destroy and, you know, just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there's the one chick that's kind of a thief.
Yeah, Sunshine.
Yeah, I was like, her name, Sunshine, yeah. That's what it was.
We started talking about the characters, kind of deviated from that. But yeah, Sunshine is one of the first...
specialty, to deviate.
A little bit. Yeah, Sunshine's one of the first characters we meet because she actually steals from Raven, mm-hmm. and the most of the first issue was...
Was it like 9, 7 silver or something like that?
Yeah, hardly anything, but yeah. Raven's like chasing after her.
Well, it was the principle of
hardcore pork.
Try to steal from her, yeah. Definitely hardcore porker. It was cool.
A little bit. So, yeah, she's a character we haven't learned a whole lot about earlier on, at least.
No.
She's half-elf.
Mm-hmm.
She says that a few times. That's about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say,
I think her mom was an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and then that, of course, leads to the next character.
And that's why she's not in the elven community, because she's half elf.
Yeah. Right.
And she gets seasick because elves are bad.
They're from the desert or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Then the only other main character, because we technically talked about the map maker, which I don't remember her name.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it. It starts with an X.
Zamina.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was whenever I saw them.
Yeah, their
names are hard. I don't try.
And then, Katie, and then there's the Jayla. Is that her name?
The
Jaylen?
Yeah.
Jaylen, Jayla?
Yeah. She's the bartender's daughter. Yeah.
Chemic, medic, bombardier.
Yeah.
Science chick.
She likes magic and potions and blowing stuff up. Yeah. So
not magic science. She will correct you on that.
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah.
So no, it's
she's a fun character.
She's a very fun character.
She does say she's a witch at one point.
That's to scare the people, and that's why they're trying to burn down the building, and that's why they have to pour pig blood on themselves and say they're cursed to get the guys to run away.
Those
scared.
Guards were real dumb, though.
You gotta realize.
real dumb.
Okay. If you go back to that time frame,
right,
where this should be taking place at,
right.
People at that time were not educated very well.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And very, very superstitious. So if you're saying, oh, well, they already think it's a witch, and then somebody come, like, three women come up covered in blood and say that they're cursed because of her.
Wouldn't they just burn those three women, too?
They want to stay away from it.
Yeah. Like, I got the impression that they were interrogating them at the start.
Yeah.
Like, they were afraid. Like they wanted to know as much as possible. And then it's like, okay, they finally caught on to the fact that, oh, if this is really a curse, we need to get out of here.
I like that they convinced them it was a contagious curse.
Yeah. And then there was like an abrupt...
They've cursed us with syphilis.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, there was like a complete shift in how the Kingsmen were acting, and they're like, "Oh yeah, let's do what you guys say, and let's get out of here." And
it then doesn't seem like it'd be very hard to trick these people, though.
No,
is basically what I was saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's the elite of the guards. It's kind of a piratey town that's they're like, "Oh, let's try to enforce a little bit of law, but we don't care too much, so we're just going to send our D-list people."
This is your D-Man Avenger level of people.
A little bit.
Yeah. And that's kind of Great Lakes Avenger.
Don't diss the Great Lakes Avenger.
I know, I love them.
Good.
Have Squirrel.
Flat Man and Doorman and Immortal Man. Is that?
Yeah.
Wasn't Big Bertha part of that?
She was.
Yeah, she was cool.
She was actually useful, so I didn't care for her amongst
the only two that I cared about were both the females, because they were the only useful ones.
Doorman got kind of interesting.
I like the grasshopper guy that got killed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Anyway, we should go back to the list. We can do an issue or an episode about the Great Lake Avenger some other time.
That could be fun.
It would take like 2 seconds.
Yeah. So
they had a new run recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year. Anyway, keep going.
I do like that a lot of, not necessarily the male characters, but any characters who are kind of have authority, unless they're painted as the villains, they're very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the villains are written fairly well, and not so much villains, but in
Cookie.
Yeah.
He wasn't dumb.
No, I'm saying apart from like the main male characters, most of the you know secondary or just you know minor male characters are very dumb. So I like that doesn't extend to everyone, but the fact that the majority of the people that you know have any kind of authority are idiots, apart from the king again. I think it's pretty funny.
Commentary on real life.
Yep. just a little bit.
We'll keep going.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the other characters, we've talked about Zamina. She has a long history with Raven. She was actually...
kidnapped.
She was kidnapped, didn't realize it until much later. And
if you don't realize you're kidnapped, are you really kidnapped?
Yeah, it's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, technically her kidnapper... who, spoiler, was Raven, didn't realize what she was doing.
Yeah.
Well, she knew somewhat. She knew she needed to get her to come with her because it was going to keep them safe, but she didn't exactly realize how it was going to affect things.
Yeah, she was young enough to not realize that she was taking her for leverage. She could have been saving her. And they, of course, you know, friendship bloomed and...
maybe something more, but I haven't got that far in yet.
Possibly something more. Yeah, they definitely tease.
She keeps getting cut off when she's talking about something that happened in a crow's nest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. They definitely tease a romance between the two. So that there's definitely some bad blood that I think is very cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of that play out.
That whole
future
that whole video from Taylor Swift, Bad Blood, happens at one point. Yeah. Have you seen the Taylor Swift video, Bad Blood?
No.
I want that to be made into a movie.
Everyone's in it. Literally everyone's in it.
More than anything I've ever seen, I want that as a movie. It's basically an all-female version of The Expendables.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Movie form.
Yeah. It's a dumb video, but it's kind of
dumb.
I want it to be a movie. That's how The Expendables are. They're dumb, but they're fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
We'll have to watch it after.
Okay.
And what were we talking about?
The last character that we've talked about but haven't really talked about is Katie.
She's awesome.
I think she's my favorite.
Thought was weird at one point. Like one of the dumb guys that's running around something says something about her being chubby. I'm like, she's a big muscular woman. How is she chubby? She doesn't look chubby. She never looked chubby.
No.
And I was like, why did he just call her chubby?
Zamina even gives her the nickname Muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, you muscles with me.
I think she's my favorite.
She's great. Because it was hilarious because she's like, wait. They're like, you're supposed to go with her. Like, I'm Muscles? Awesome. I like her. She takes off running.
Yeah, I think she's my favorite.
Yeah.
Big, tall blonde and with freckles and just...
yeah, just think of a big, you know... oh!
She seems like a big
Bran there. Bran of Tarth.
But a more naive version, almost, of Bran of Tarth.
Kind of, yeah.
I was thinking the Captain Phasma, but then like, I couldn't remember her Game of Thrones.
Right.
Bran of Tarth. Ha-ha! I could be useful. Not a lot. Just
a little more muscular, though, I think.
Yeah, more
Katie's
muscular.
A little more muscular.
Yeah.
Probably, but...
she's comic book muscular. If they made a movie, she could totally play the part,
true.
I think.
She would definitely... well, she's probably a little bit older.
That's true.
That's the only thing.
She could voice the character. If they do a cartoon.
Yeah. I could voice the character.
Well, apparently not, because you'll then lose your voice.
No, I lost my voice doing
Zamina.
Okay, well, that's your own fault.
Katie was just German.
But we haven't. I guess we've gone off and on. But what did you guys think of the book? At least the first arc.
The first arc, I really enjoyed. I thought it was great. I'm very excited about it. Like I said, I would have read more had I had more time. But
yeah,
with spending a lot of time trying to watch all the Avengers, all the Marvel MCU stuff over again in time for Infinity Wars.
Yep.
That's taking up a lot of time.
Tickets.
And then lots of work
and it's
a lot
tax,
of other activities.
Tax
yeah.
season. So.
And we gotta keep checking on that one rip back there into another dimension that only emits fear energy. We gotta keep making sure that stays closed.
Agreed. Because that could get really bad really quickly.
Yep.
So, yeah. Cody, any opinions or kind of last thoughts?
Well,
on
to be fair, I'm going to preface this. I don't like pirate stories. I never have. I'm a future person. I don't really like stories that take place in the past. So things like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, all that stuff. not super interesting to me. I'm more of a space fighting or superhero type guy.
That's fair.
And I think I would have enjoyed it more if I knew about the princeless thing. Because she keep mentioning stuff like her dwarf friend and the dragon. I'm like, mm-hmm. That's the story I want to know about. But I can understand how, now knowing I should have known that stuff already, and this is just a build-up of that, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Because before I'm like, no, I want to know the dragon thing and the dwarf friend thing.
But yeah.
Apparently I was supposed to know that already, Cameron. Yeah. Also didn't really like the D&D thing. They live in D&D.
Yeah.
Why play D&D?
They live in D&D. That is one thing. There is
like
a
us
line.
Playing go to work and rolling dice for that. did I get the paperwork done? Roll. Natural 20. Yeah.
That's like talking about people that go hunting and fishing, playing hunting and fishing games.
Yeah.
Because they do that.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens a lot.
But I understand now that the other comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Princeless is more of a comedy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes more sense to me even then, because it's a world in which it's supposed to be more humorous.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Raven's a little more serious than
a little bit.
Princeless is.
Yeah, it gets funnier.
So that makes more sense even now.
I mean, look, those two are playing. They're throwing blood at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You mentioned the D&D thing. We should probably mention in the when they're putting their pirate crew together.
Right.
It's all Katie's
book club.
Yeah.
/ game night club.
Yeah, and they're all just women who
club.
Yeah, they're playing. You know, they're playing tabletop games, and they mention tabletop games throughout the book. One of the honestly probably the funniest line in the entire book to me was in the last issue when all the crew is outside and they're kind of playing games or they're throwing, you know, pig's blood around.
Right.
And Cookie comes out and says, why does it look like we're about to have a midnight book release?
Yeah.
Which, and then you look at the image of everything and it looks exactly like that. Other than the blood, but
yeah, they're cosplaying.
What weird midnight book releases have you gone to, Cameron?
To be fair, I did.
Twilight is what he went to.
Okay, funny story.
Oh, did you actually go to Twilight?
I totally.
Oh my gosh.
I was really intrigued by what I would see at a Barnes & Noble midnight release. So I actually went to the book release for the fourth Twilight book.
There's a fourth Twilight
book? Yeah, I thought there was only three.
No, there's four.
Oh.
Shows what I know.
Yeah, no, you don't need to know that.
I don't need to know that.
No.
But I do know that now.
It was so awkward. I mean, and I've been to Harry Potter midnight releases, and obviously those are fun because those are good books.
Right.
Sure.
But
no offense if you like Twilight, but you're wrong.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man, it was so weird, because there was, like, Twilight trivia,
right.
And I'm like, God, these questions are boring. Because, again, the books are boring. So,
yes.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't really a funny story, just a funny premise that I went to a new... Or I mentioned the name of it, I already forgot. Breaking Dawn.
Oh.
Breaking Dawn.
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Dumb.
Twilight Breaking Bad.
I still wouldn't.
Gotta cook
that.
Some meth and suck some blood. I don't know what happens in Twilight. Funny, the first time I ever heard about Twilight, I was in a dentist office reading a magazine, and it was talking about this new vampire versus werewolves movie that was coming out called Twilight. And I'm like, oh, this is gonna be the best movie. Little did I know, it wasn't.
So, our buddy Stones.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, you want to watch this new vampire movie with me? Sure, I'll watch it with you. So it's me and him. In the basement, watching Twilight. I'm like, what the hell did you make me watch?
Oh, that's scary. Did he enjoy it?
I can see Stones enjoying it.
He thought it was okay.
I can see Stones enjoying it. Stones is weird.
Yeah.
His name's Stones.
Right. Yeah, no, those are bad.
But Raven's
not
Twilight.
No.
It's not. And it's actually good. And you should read it.
Yeah.
Give it a chance.
I think you should read Princeless first.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and I haven't even read Princeless yet, and I want to read it so I get a better understanding
so go buy
of the
that.
World.
Yeah, so.
Read all that.
So that's going to be our takeaway. I should mention that I do enjoy Raven. I think it's really good.
Oh yeah, you haven't given your opinion.
No, I enjoy it. I love the art. It does mm-hmm. it does take a slight shift, even though it's the same art team.
Right.
But I think again that's just development. That's just change in style as you grow as an artist.
Yep.
You even see change in the writing style because it does get it starts out a little more serious and then it veers more into the humor
right.
That was a lot more prevalent in the earlier books.
In all fairness, though, I mean, if you look at it, the way that it starts off, she's on her own. She doesn't know a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably taking a more serious tone because she's all about revenge. But as she gets to know probably her crew, and I would imagine they'd all get to know each other, you warm up, you start getting a little more lighthearted, messing right. around. I
mean, yeah.
It goes more from that business, mm-hmm. you know, stern, like, you know... I don't want to say angry, because she was annoyed, but she didn't seem like she was, like, bloodthirsty necessarily. I mean, she wants to get out of her brothers, but...
Yeah.
But then I'm sure she gets to a softer tone and just enjoys hanging out with her crew and just living life.
Yeah, right. Her anger is definitely towards the people that have wronged her and doesn't really come out in the people who care about her.
She punches which Sunshine is really in good. The face a whole bunch that one time.
Sunshine tried to steal from her. Well, yeah! Sunshine did steal from her.
Yeah.
She had it coming.
Yeah.
But I like that dynamic between the two of them. So, but no, definitely, that's the takeaway is read all of the Princeless and Pirate Princess books. They are all fantastic. They're all really fun. And the book needs your support. So you can go on to, again, if you want to just check out the earlier issues, you can read the first issues of Raven and Princeless for free on Hoopla if you have a library card. But then definitely head over to Comixology. You can buy any of the either single issues or you can buy them in a trade format. Mm-hmm. And you can even the latest volume of Raven is up for pre-order. So you can actually pre-order the first, or not the first, but the new trade that's coming out here in a few months.
Now, I know you keep preferencing that they're kind of a smaller indie group. Are they one of those groups that, do they have like a Patreon or do they have any other thing like that? Or is it just strictly they just make and publish their stuff and that's how you support them?
There isn't really I don't believe there's a Patreon yet. Like the book is published by Action.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah. I know that, but I'm just saying I didn't know if there's anything else, like any other ways, because there's a lot of times different ways to support different artists and everything. So
The main thing is buying the book. I think the biggest thing is trying to pre-order the trades, because the trades are actually where they're going to make most of their money.
Fair enough.
Rather than single issues, but. And definitely if you pre-order, that's going to help because that's basically a guaranteed sale for them.
Well, yeah.
And a lot of retailers, if you pre-order, enough copies, they'll put the more you pre-order, the more chances are that they'll have books available on the shelf for anyone else. So that gives them more awareness. So that puts more books in other people's eyes that even if they don't pre-order specifically, usually most retailers will have at least one more copy of something that somebody else special orders and they'll throw it up there. And then that gives that book another chance. So you can go on to Amazon and buy the books. You can go to Barnes and Noble, any other retailer.
Yeah.
Again, Comixology, you can get them if you want digital copies. So that's the biggest thing
you go to your local comic book store and try to get them to pre-order it and everything like that, so you can support local as well.
Yep, absolutely. That's the biggest thing is if you want a book to keep going, you got to pre-order it because that's like I said earlier, indie books like this really do live or die based on the numbers. Honestly, Marvel, DC books by bigger companies, they're the same way. If they don't get the support, either from the company or from readers, the book is going to eventually go away. So that's why it's super important to support any book that you want, whether it's independent or not, pre-order them because those are the numbers that will really help those books succeed and to keep going.
Internet.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Comic books.
Yeah. We've talked recently about talking less about comics. Fortunately, you know, the last two episodes we kind of did.
Yeah.
But, so.
We talked about a book and a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie book. And a movie book. Book yeah. Movie book.
So, any last words on Raven?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, I think we touched base on most of the stuff. It's really good. Definitely give it a try, people. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Again, it is all ages. It doesn't always read like that. You kind of forget that you're reading a book that anybody could read, but
right.
It's light on any kind of violence.
Yeah.
There's no cursing at all.
I haven't seen any nudity.
Nope. It's very smartly written in a way that it doesn't talk down to anybody, but at the
same
time... Deadpool
hasn't appeared yet.
No Deadpool.
I'd pay to see that.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, it's smartly
Deadpool
written.
Should just cross over into, like, every indie comic franchise for a little bit.
Oh, that'd be great.
Most other companies have their own version of Deadpool. That's how they do it.
I know, but Deadpool from Marvel. Like, Marvel should go to indie comics and be like, hey, we'd like to do an issue where Deadpool gets a hold of this device and it teleports him into your comic for an issue or two.
Even if it's only like for a couple panels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like he's like, boom, he's like, whoa, what happened? Ah, let me get out of here.
Style.
Yeah.
Show up in your spaceman. Spaceman?
Space captain?
Space captain. Just floating in space like, oh. Then he's gone.
That would be hilarious. I feel like that would be just the last straw for Deadpool. People would just kind of be done.
Yeah,
I think that'd be amazing.
No,
he's a Deadpool fan.
That's
so.
How you finish Deadpool. It's like he never gets back. He's just constantly.
I was gonna say that's the last Deadpool story. Is he ends up in all of these other?
That's how Deadpool
all over the
quote unquote dies.
The comic book multiverse.
Yeah, he gets lost in every indie comic ever. Like he shows up in Geek.
Theory?
Is that it? Geek Theory?
You're talking about Cameron, right?
Yeah.
Geek Theory? That doesn't sound right for some reason. I wanted to say Geek History Lesson, but I knew that wasn't.
No, that's different. That is different. That's
it's on the wall, Cody.
That says
on
Geeks Assemble.
Below that.
Oh, I
Geek
can't read
Theory
that.
Comics.com.
So,
shameless plug.
I guess that's
Cameron.
Yeah, a little plug for my
Deadpool's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be covering Deadpool. But anyway, that's our episode for this week. Thank you for listening in. Hopefully, you'll check out more books from Action Lab and from.
They also have one based on kittens that are heroes.
Oh yeah, Action Lab's got a lot of cool stuff. Check out latest previews for some other very cool books they have coming out, or you can order that are already available. That's it for this week. Again, check us out on the Twitters at Nerd Dump Podcast. You can also follow us if you want. I'm at Cameron Kiefer.
I'm at the Cody Wack.
I don't know why you'd follow me, but I'm at Viking Honey.
You occasionally retweet things.
I do!
You also occasionally talk to us, so there's
I think
that.
You have more followers than I do on Twitter.
I don't know why!
I think I have a picture of pizza on the page.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Like pizza you ate, or you just took a snapshot of pizza that you found on Google.
It's a guy named Pizza.
No. It was a slice of pizza that I ended up eating. It was before I ate it, obviously.
I would hope you don't. Please don't take pictures of pizza.
We are the Nerd Dump.
And now you know why we are the name we are. So. Anyway, that's it for this week. Again, check us out. Let us know what you think we should call our book club episodes. Also, if you have any other books that you want to...
We should be the clubbing.
The clubbing?
Yeah, it should be the clubbing. It's a bad idea. Don't go there. Give us better, because obviously we're not good at this.
Yeah, give us better than the clubbing, which is actually kind of growing on me already. But anyway, hit us up and let us know if there are other books or creators that you want us to spotlight on a future episode. We are definitely up for any feedback or ideas you have. That's it from us. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful week.
Bye.
This has been a Nerd Dump production.